says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" Have you ever been like so overjoyed, overwhelmed with joy and happiness that you want to share it with somebody? You know, like, I can't wait. I got to tell you about this. Like, I mean, it could be something as simple as maybe the sauce that comes from Chick-fil-A, right? You know, have you ever tried this sauce? All right. Or maybe it's a particular episode in a sitcom, right? It's just so funny and you just like, you just want to share it with somebody. Or maybe even you're trying to share with somebody that's a youth or somebody, trying to tell them, explain, hey, we used to have great fun. We didn't have cell phones. We didn't have video games. We didn't have all of the things. And they're like looking at you like, yeah, right. How could you have had fun without any of those things? That's impossible. But lastly, maybe you are trying to explain the joy that you have in yourself for this Advent season to a person who doesn't believe in the life-giving message of Jesus. So, like, these are like some of the responses maybe that you'll get when you try to share with somebody, like saying, "Oh, this sauce is from heaven," and they look at you like, "No, it's not all that." Or when you say that show is hilarious, I could just binge watch it for, you know, days on end, and they're like, "You know, I tried to watch it for 2 minutes and I changed the channel." Or maybe it's trying to share with somebody, hey, the great memories that you had, you know, out of doors, you know, with your friends, and then, you know, just talking with them, connecting with them, and they look at you and say, "Well, why don't you just text them?" Finally, sometimes the reality of is the sharing of how the creator of the universe sent an advocate to be the bridge of grace and truth. There creates more, unfortunately, division and animosity than connectivity. What is it about this truly joyful moment that seems to separate people from the core? How is it possible that the joy, that this kind of joy, the joy of the Savior's birth, could separate us? It's supposed to bring us together, but yet it seems to separate us. There's no unification. This magnificent moment reveals something about the way God created all of humanity. So let's look at this a little bit. The effects of joy. As we read the scripture, let's see how the Advent season should bring us joy into our lives. Let us read Luke's story of what took place. So in Luke 2, if you want to turn your Bibles to this passage, we'll be starting at the 8th verse. And it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people.'" Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning, that those who are with us this morning would hear this word and share this word of good news. This news of great joy that Jesus came down from his kingdom for one reason, and that was to save us, to give us an opportunity to have life everlasting with you and your Father. Father, I pray that you would anoint these words shared this morning, and that you would strengthen me, that only you would come out of this vessel. In your name I pray. Amen. So, in this verse, do you notice that the shepherds, they were doing shepherd things. They weren't doing anything spectacular. There's not a lot that goes on in the life of a shepherd that's really exciting, right? So they initially, when we read this, they were a little afraid, but then they were quickly comforted by the angel, as all times, like when the angel suddenly appears, it says, "Fear not," right? You have nothing to be afraid of. They were seemingly caught off guard, but they seemed to share an appreciation for what was happening, what was going on, especially as we read on in this text in Luke, where it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. You will find this baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with an angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." While the angel is speaking about the Messiah being born, unification occurs. This great heavenly host has formed a choir to sing the praises of the joy personified. Announcing Jesus' birth brings the residents of all this heavenly host together, and they start singing the praises of Jesus. I don't know. It's kind of a hard thing to imagine. Can you just imagine the skies opening up and all the heavenly hosts? I don't know what a heavenly host looks like. But I just got to think it's got to be magnificent, right? And they all start singing, and they're all in key. I don't know why it's a thing with me, but they're all singing the praises of this newborn king. Man, it had to be something spectacular. I wish I could have been there. Now notice how this good news motivates the shepherds as they communicate and operate as a team. It says in the next part of our text here, it says, "When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened with the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who had heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." They get the message and they get inspired. They're like, "We've got to go." They're inspired. They say, we're leaving the sheep. They're joy seeing Jesus motivated to them to say, "Hey, we just can't contain it. We've got to share the news." They had gone from being shepherds to messengers. From shepherds to messengers. I think it's incumbent upon each and us, every one of us, to do the same, to be messengers, to share this good news, this news of joy. So, secondly, we look at the good news and how it caused great joy. This good news put the shepherds on this journey, this new trajectory on their life. But can it be that simple? So let's look at the other side of this coin. Does the good news always bring great joy? So let's just read a similar encounter that's found that involves Herod, and it's in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 3. And it reads, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So we see that this news of Jesus being born doesn't always bring great joy. Herod doesn't seem to be as happy as the shepherds. No. As a matter of fact, Herod and all those who are with them, it says here in this text that they become disturbed. Why would that be? This is good news, right? It's supposed to be a joyful moment. This is why. Insecurity. Insecurity. It's a human problem. The moment that we hear that somebody looks better than us, or has a better job than us, or we hear about a new church plant that's taking place and it's going to be bigger than us, we get a little nervous, don't we? When we find something is better than us. That's what was going through King Herod, this new child. He saw that this new Christ child, it was going to be better than him. And just like him, we start when we find something is better than us, we start to look for faults and why we think we are better than them, right? Oh, they're big, all right, but do they have a potluck every third Sunday? It causes us to be divisive instead of coming together. It's the trick of the enemy. It's why the devil was literally thrown out of heaven, right? He's like, I'm better than you. See ya. Jesus' birth exposed the insecurity in Herod. Jesus was looked at as competition. Herod saw Jesus as a disruption in his everyday life. If this little child comes, my way of life, it's going to change. And I cannot have that. And I will not have this. Can you imagine being so insecure? This always, when I read this part of Scripture, when I read this account, how Herod is so insecure and so troubled by this child that by the time he hears the news that the Magi have left, they tricked and went the other way, Herod's like, that's it. I'm killing every baby 2 years old and younger. Can you imagine the tears and the screams? All that bloodshed, those two-year-olds. I just can't imagine it. I mean, those of us have had kids, grandkids. And because this king is insecure, and my baby has nothing to do, it doesn't matter. He takes the life of every baby 2 years and younger. It's insanity. The answer to the question of why Jesus' birth causes conflict is found in how John stated that joy is wrapped up in two words, grace and truth. Turn with me to John 1:14, and it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. When you understand that grace and truth, it's kind of an eye-opening revelation, right? This is what the shepherds understood. They have a Savior who was full of grace and truth. Herod, he undertook, he only saw half of it. He only saw the truth. Truth is disabling to those who can't see the undeserving grace. It shines light in their eyes. It says, hey, your life, you've been living it, it's all a lie. And grace without truth is enabling to those who don't want accountability. They're like, hey, as long as no one sees what I'm doing wrong, I'm just keeping it on down low. Nobody sees what's going on. It's all good. But the minute there's light shed on it, and people will see that you're not all that you say that you are. See, that's what Herod was afraid of. He had nobody, there's no accountability. It allows for freedom in moments where there should be some boundaries. You're living a life on a train without tracks. It might seem kind of cool, but who wants to ride a train when there's no rails? No rails means you'll be derailed, right? Herod didn't understand that Jesus was full of both. Herod didn't have accountability. He was surrounded by individuals who gave him grace without truth. Their life kind of depended on it, right? They couldn't tell Herod, man, you stink. Herod, that was a bad idea. Killing all those two-year-olds. What did they say? Oh, yeah, King Herod, yeah, we get you. Yeah. There's no truth. There's no grace. There's no accountability. He had a bunch of people that surrounded him that were swayed by his emotions and his decisions. True joy is found in having bounds of truth and grace. Hearing that God, the judge of all humankind, has sent his one and only begotten Son can be terrifying in both cases where there's a level of fear. Here's perfection birthed into the world that has fallen far from truth. If we simply view this from a perspective like Herod, we only see the condemnation. Our agenda of selfishness is exposed, and we try to kill the entire idea of this truth. But when we hear the Spirit of the Lord say, don't be afraid, Jesus has come to save you, we quickly understand that this truth is here because of his grace. It's a package deal. Truth and grace. This joyous occasion, you may know, it says in Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. In the candle lighting, we hear about this joy. It's joy unspeakable. It's a hymn that I sang as a kid. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. Oh, the joy unspeakable is full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. There's these hymnals. There's some of them underneath your seats. But there's a message here in this. When I look at that fourth verse, it says, I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great overflowing well seeing up in my soul. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. This joy should bring us together as we love God and each other. that this season is about celebrating, coming together, being full of joy, and being joyous together because of the salvation that we have here. What if we viewed each other as the Father viewed us? We could see that each person is worth saving. Can you imagine giving someone, the gift of forgiveness? Not only the freedom that it will give you, but the freedom that it will give them. You no longer have to carry that burden, that grudge, and that other person can walk freely knowing that although maybe they didn't deserve it, you gave them grace. What a present. What a gift. We can find joy together no matter where we are. We can seek that source together. I trust that each and every one of you are motivated. To want to share the joy that's inside of you, that joy would encourage those who are in your sphere of influence, that they would see that joy unspeakable and full of glory in this form. Heavenly Father, this morning, the joy that you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, as the song says, all the half has never yet been told. Father, I thank you for this day and this opportunity to worship you and to praise you. And I pray that those who, during this season, sometimes it's rather hard to find joy. But it's my prayer that they would find joy in you in all that you have to offer. Father, as we go to our jobs and school, wherever we may be, I pray that we are a personification of joy, and that we'd be able to share why we have this joy in us. In your name I pray. Amen.